Praise the Lord. God is good. We've been enjoying the Lord this morning, haven't we? It's been so good, so kind, and so faithful. How many guests or how many people were at the wedding yesterday? Great. How many have stayed on that are from visiting churches or visiting? Can you just raise your hands? We just want to give you a warm welcome. Thank you. Welcome. Unfortunately, we weren't able to attend the wedding because we're in the middle of moving house. We've been homeless for about a year now. Not homeless, but you understand, in transition. But as I was thinking about the wedding, it takes me back to a wedding I just recently did for my nephew, and it was a great time. And while we were there, I was going there specifically to marry my nephew. And I want to encourage you, as you go and just do life, God will use your life. Can I encourage you? It's not complicated. Evangelism is not some other activity you have to do. God didn't say you have to find another life in order for me to use you. I have chosen your life and made your life, and I'm going to use your life. So I want to encourage us today. It's not complicated. Just living your life and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. Oh, it's fantastic. And while I was there, as you imagine, I talked with different friends and that, and a lady I came across after the wedding, we were having breakfast the next day, and she began to share her story. And she's probably about 30 years old and had 2 bouts of cancer and nearly lost her life. But no bitterness in her. She was grateful that she's alive. But because of the chemotherapy and all that that had wrecked her insides, she could not have children. So much wanted to have children. And she was grateful. She was sharing the story of the process they were going through for adoption. And she was excited in that. And God said, tell her your story. I said, God, what do you mean? The story of Jeremiah. Because I want you to stir faith in her heart that I have one for her too. Amen. Good. You notice I didn't say God's going to give, he says, tell her your story. Yeah. You see, each of us have stories of God doing a work in our life. And so I told her the story of how it was impossible for us to have children. And that we prayed and asked God, but we were doing the same thing. It is not a bad thing to plan for IVF or to adopt. Can I say that? God is still in all those as well. So I didn't tell her. I told her the story, and she was so encouraged, and she filled up with tears. I says, and God still wants you to adopt. But I'm believing that God's going to give you a child. Because that is the desire of you and your husband's heart. And so I prayed with her right there in the Marriott Hotel, my favorite. They're like family, you know? In front of the wedding party. And she looked up and she said, thank you. And I told my nephew, I says, well, I'll give my email and I'm looking forward to the report.
Yes, that's right.
Now, T, what is it? I don't know, but illustration this morning was Dave had about a farmer. You and I are farmers. We're called to sow seeds everywhere we go and trust God to do the miraculous. So it was good, and the wedding went really well. They were blessed, and I had a good time. It reminds me, actually, I heard this groom one time at a wedding rehearsal the night before the wedding, and he said to the minister, this isn't me, this is someone else, okay? I'll make a deal with you. If during the vows you will leave out all that love and honor and obey stuff, I'll give you 50 pounds. He slipped 50-pound note into the minister's hand and walked away with a smile. And then, of course, the next day was the wedding. And the next day during the ceremony, the minister said to him and all the witnesses present, he says to him, do you promise to bow down before your wife? To take breakfast to her in bed? And to fulfill every desire of her heart? He gulped in astonishment and said in a weak voice, I do. Then he whispered, just caught the minister's ear, and he says, I thought we had a deal. And the minister handed back to him his money and said, your wife made me a much better offer. It's good to laugh. It's good to enjoy life. Over the past few weeks, months, God's been speaking to us, encouraging us what it means to be a remnant people. When you hear that phrase, sometimes it can cause confusion if you don't understand what that means, particularly from an Old Testament point of view. It was a Jewish people. But for us, I want to be clear. That is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not an elite people. It's not someone that is separated. If you are born again, you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So that means we are all in. Turn to somebody and say, we're in. That means nobody's left out. And I want to encourage you in that. Nobody is left out. And while we had a season of to consider our ways, can I encourage you that will not be a one-off. That is almost a daily thing. To consider our ways, not in a mournful way. Can I encourage you? The Father is not looking and putting all this pressure on. A Father says, just consider your ways. I'm with you. I am with you always. Yeah? So I want to encourage us that we're going to reach the city, the world, and our friends. But this morning I want to share with you, but what does that look like? Because we can hear prophetic words. We can hear things to reach the city. We are the church. But what do you and I, what does this look like for you and me and for the world that we encounter? It's very important. Otherwise, it's just scripture verses or prophetic words we're saying. But what does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Because God is not just a God of words. He's alive. Amen? Amen. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. I just want to read this to us to encourage us what it means for us to be the people of God before I dive into to tell us what we look like, yeah, and what we can do. Shout hallelujah when you're there. Great. Verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now we are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can I encourage you? You are special. Don't ever say I'm bad. Don't ever say, because you're calling God a liar. You are special. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for us. He paid the price. He laid his life down. And when we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, we are in that family. And we are a special possession. That phrase, declare praises, I know sometimes we can think that we can put that around singing and worship, which that is true. We can do that. But I want to encourage you, this is you telling of the excellency of God in your life. Declaring praises isn't a, oh, I love you, Lord, in the restaurant. What it is saying is having a conversation. Let me tell you how great God is. He's real. I'm not just quoting a text. I'm living the gospel. Yeah? So tell people about his goodness, his greatness, his excellency. Because it's not something that you just read. God says, I will reveal this to you in your own life. How many here are saved? How many here are grateful they're saved? There's two. How many people are grateful God saved you? Yes. Hallelujah, yes. How many know God has stepped in when you were making a mistake? Yes. How many know that God restores things even when you mess it up? Yes. How many know that God is gracious even when we don't deserve it? That is our Lord. That is our King. That is your Father. So when you have that relationship and you know and you share with others, that's that praise that you share with people. And we're called to be living stones. Living stones. Living stones. Living stones. Amen. But what does it look like? What does this good news look like? Well, we're going to find that out, and the best person to show us and show us how simple it is Jesus himself. Jesus was God, but he was fully man. One of the most beautiful things that I love about my Father, my Savior, and my King is he became like me. He left his deity, and he came to us to know what it's like to live in this world and show us how we can live too. Okay? So John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1 through 42 just so we understand the whole context of what Jesus did. Now, to help set your mind, don't over-spiritualize this now, okay? Jesus was just living his life, and he made decisions just like you and I do. But when we have the Holy Spirit, just like he had to depend on, can I emphasize that? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit just like we are. You get it now? Let's drop it in. He lives in us. Yeah? So he's just living his life, and then he's aware that the Holy Spirit is in him, and the Holy Spirit speaks to him and guides him. He does the same for you and me. Amen? Now, sometimes we don't always get it right, but I want to encourage you, don't worry about that. Yeah? Don't be afraid to make mistakes. Yeah? We have a loving Father. A loving Father that is excited even when we make a step. Amen? Okay. So let's read John chapter 4. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground of Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was, yeah, from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as all did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that..." "Sir, give me this water." Let me find it again. "Yeah, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband, but what you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind, the worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, he's coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am him. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, as his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it is still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and a harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Last bit. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony or her story. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Amen. There's a lot in there. But I want to draw some nuggets for us out of this portion of this encounter Jesus has with this woman at a well. And Jesus is showing us how simple it is and how he can use us as well. So the first thing I want to encourage us from verses 1 through 6, Jesus lived his life and made decisions just like you and I do. We read in the context that Jesus heard that disciples were, the report came back to him that the disciples were gaining more than him. And he made a decision, we got to go back to Galilee. But to do that, he just made another decision. We're going to go through this other town. Can I encourage you? Life is easy. Don't worry about making mistakes. God's got all those factored in. God's got all your decisions already mapped out. Tomorrow is already written. And so we find that Jesus made decisions that led him to the will of God. So where to go and how to get there? Jesus made a decision. So they just went. Now, of course, the journey, he got tired. Anybody ever get tired? Yeah? I'm glad to know that Jesus got tired. He was tired from the journey. Yeah? So he's tired from the journey. In verses 6 and 9, it says he was tired, and a woman showed up at the well. He sat down at the well before the woman arrived. He just sat down to get a drink. Yeah? Because he was tired. Yeah? And then in walks a woman. I want to encourage you this morning. The title of our message is Look Up. And that's what Jesus did. He looked up and he asked her for a drink. Just started a conversation. Can you give me a drink? Folks, it doesn't have to be, oh, Lord, give me a word of knowledge. Lord, help me. You say, just start the conversation. And the Holy Spirit will help you along the way. So we find that he just asks for a drink. He asked for a drink. And he told her who he was. And thus the talk, the miracle begins. Do you understand? Just by having a conversation, the miracle is starting to unfold. Yeah? In verses 10 through 19, they begin to talk. She came to get a drink too. You see, we forget her choice today was to go to the well at this time, at this hour, at this moment, at noon, to go get a drink for herself. She did not know the Savior was arriving. She did not know the Son of God was showing up. She was just going to get a drink. Folks, can I encourage you? There is a whole world out there is just going to get a drink. And they're going to bump into you and me, and they're going to meet Jesus, even though they never expected it. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting? And if you haven't been doing it, don't worry about it. God's going to help you do it. Yeah? So we find that he comes and gives her a drink. She's coming for a drink. And then he tells her about this living water. Yeah? She was just living her life as she knew it. And then Jesus moves in a word of knowledge. Do you understand? That's how the Holy Spirit, he gives you things to unlock. Yeah? You don't have to get pressurized and say, oh, Lord, I need to fast 40 days to get these words of knowledge. Lord, help me. No. Just flow in the Spirit. Yeah? And he will. Whether it's a word of knowledge or insight or prophecy, whatever, that's what the gifts are there for, to be given away. Amen? Okay. T, you're doing a really good job. I just want to encourage you from the throne of heaven. I love you. Thank you, Father. So, verses 19 through 26. So we find this. What was it divided them? Was they had a difference of where God dwelt. God dwelled in Jerusalem, not on this mountain. Can I encourage you? Jesus didn't let the division stop him. Well, the Baptists, they don't believe in baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, they don't. No. The most wonderful thing about Jesus is he broke the dividing wall to bring us together as one. Don't let division stop you reaching people. So what divided them was where God dwelled and where they worshiped. But Jesus gave her an eternal answer, not a temporal one. Oh, it's far more greater than you have understood. For God desires worshipers in spirit and in truth that will worship anywhere, not on any mountain. Because I'm going to come and live in them, this living water. And this worship will spill over into the streets and into the world and creation. It's far greater than you think it is. It's not in a church building. It's not in a temple. It's in a people. That my worship will flow and touch the nations. We find in verses 27 through 38, she left her water jar. But she came thirsty. You see, when you give people the life of God, it meets all their needs. She left her water jar and went home and told her story now. Come and meet this man that told me everything. I don't know, but I think it's the Messiah. Yeah. What? What do you mean it's the Messiah? What do you mean? Well, I don't know, but you're buzzing. You're excited, man. I mean, you're alive. Someone has touched you. Your countenance, your excitement, you've never been like this before. There's been hope, there's been faith restored in your life. Even though he touched on an issue of your life, you still felt the warm embrace of the King. Even though he highlighted the sin that I might do, and his love was far greater than the sin he highlighted. Yes, he brought correction, but his correction was through the filter of love. So much so that she brought the rest with her. I love this. And then Jesus finished the conversation. My question is, what happened to his tiredness? What happened to his thirst? Folks, can I encourage you? These are real things. It didn't just disappear, no. But what he found strength in, is he set aside himself for a moment to come do the will of the Father. And this is why he can say, this is my food. This is my real nourishment. It's living for God and doing his will. You find that satisfaction. I want to encourage you, folks, it's okay to be tired. Yeah, it's okay. Jesus was tired. But he shows us how we find strength. Yeah? I want to promise you right now, God will come through to you and every one of you when you step out and rest and believe in him. He will not fail you. He will not fault you. He is faithful. So he says to come to do the will. You can find strength from the Holy Spirit in your weakness. And I love this, he says. Don't put off the harvest or the opportunity. We can all find reasons, not yet or this or that. We call to men and consider our ways. But Jesus says, now. Now is the time. For you and I, now is the time. And you'll have that opportunity. I promise you, from the moment you walk out today, oceans of opportunity will come across your way. I don't need to pray and ask God, God, please give me an opportunity. There's 6 billion. He's done pretty good. I'll give you 6 billion opportunities. Yeah? It's called people. Yeah? And we meet people, don't we? Yeah? So God's calling us to reach not only the city, but our friends and neighbors. Okay, verse 39 through 42. Just pulling out some nuggets I trust are helpful for us to understand Jesus' life, and he calls us to live that life to help us. It's not any different, not because I'm the Son of God. It's because I've come to live in the power of the Spirit and to trust God just like you can. Amen? All right. So because of her story and testimony, many believed. That was before they got there. See, a story of transformation, which we're going to hear even when Rob Parson comes, stories, personal stories, tells this. It's his story in your life. You want to see God? See his greatest workmanship. I haven't always gotten it right, but I want to tell you the master who loves me and is molding me. His kindness and his faithfulness. Her story caused many to believe. But they asked Jesus to stay. This is what happens. It's far greater than you think it is. Can I encourage you that? It just started with this. Can I have a drink? And a whole town believed. We no longer believe because of her story, but now we have our own story. I give that as an example for us to know that we all have lives to live. Your life is unique, handcrafted by God himself. Isn't that beautiful? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows, it says in Psalm 139, it says that before a step is taken, it is already factored. If that's the case, that means he has factored in my mistakes. Now, please hear me. I'm not saying you go looking out to make mistakes. But it's okay if you do. Because you have a loving Father, yeah, that is there to help you. I was talking with my wife, and when Jeremiah was learning how to eat, now he was probably about 2 years old, and he had the fork. And he's eating, and it, you know, and it's going everywhere. On my face, on my shirt that I just put on to go to work. You know, it's going like this. And it's getting everywhere. And I grab his hand, and I'm trying to tell him how to hold it. Hold it like this. Don't make a mess. And this wonderful voice from the other side of the table, it's got a feminine voice to it. T. I said, what? He's learning. Let him learn. Don't make him feel bad for the mess. We can clean up the mess. See, a father doesn't look like that. He is excited when you even take a step. You know, when Jeremiah first walked in, you know that excitement as parents, and they're just getting in, they're just, oh. You know, and I'm across the room, and I'm thinking, my son's special. He's going to walk on water. Now, as a father, I don't get up and say, I've told you. This is what the scriptures say. You're the head, not the tail. Stand up. No, I didn't. When he was wobbling, he took the first step and fell. I rejoice. Hallelujah! Great job! Well done! But you only took a step and fell. But all as he saw wasn't failure. Was a father that was loving him and cheering him on and was there to pick him up and help him even when he made a mistake. Don't worry about it. The Father's already got that factored in. Okay? Can I encourage you in that? Turn to someone and say, it's okay. So, I always find it helpful to tell you a story that's real because you can relate. And I'll tell my story instead of someone else's story because you can learn even better. So, how does this work? How does that look for us? We can read this. How does this work in our lives every day? So, I'll tell you my story. It was about 4 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer, 4 weeks ago. It was Saturday night. Sky Q has been recorded. I'm ready. That's what Sky Q is for. Saturday night. We're getting ready. I'm sitting in my seat. Beth's ready. And then a little voice springs up. Mama, Daddy, I would love some mint chocolate ice cream. But we don't have any mint chocolate ice cream. But Daddy, I want mint chocolate ice cream. What about some hoops? No, Daddy, I want your chocolate chip mint ice cream. What about, I'm negotiating. What about some money? I'll give you some money. Don't do that with your kids. Don't try to buy them off. So Beth just says, why don't you just take him? Well, it's easy for you. You're just sitting in a chair getting ready to watch TV. So doing the fatherly duty, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not have the best attitude. I said, fine, all right, let's go. So I Google, find out, where is mint chocolate ice cream? Joe's has mint chocolate ice cream. What time is it? It's 20 to 8. What time do they close? 8 o'clock. Get in the car. We got to go now. So my son said, okay, great, we're getting there. Now my attitude going there, I'm saying, okay, all right, Father, we'll make it back. It'll be fine. Oh, I keep forgetting it's recorded. We can push play. But at the moment, I was tired. I was looking to rest and relax. And so we're driving there, and then this revelation came. I said, ooh, mint chocolate chip. Ooh, a mint chocolate chip shake. Now we're talking. This was God. God used my son to speak, and it opened up. Bless me, yeah? So we're going to Joe's, and we arrive there, and there's literally 5 minutes left. So I'm dragging my son. He's got little legs, but he is soaring. So we get there, and they're just cleaning up, and I said, oh, hello, hello. And it's young people, teenagers that are working. So I said, my son would like some chocolate mint ice cream. It's there in the window. It looks beautiful. It's fresh. So she's digging, how many scoops you want, son? Oh, I just want one, okay. What would you like? I thought, oh, and then I saw strawberry. Strawberry shake, chocolate mint. No, I'm going to say, I would love a chocolate chip mint shake. We can't do that, sir. I say, excuse me? Well, we could do a shake, but it's over in this counter with this different ice cream that is just like, it doesn't look like real ice cream. And you know how they add the powder? And they say, it's just like American. So please understand, the window here has got a really small window for this ice cream. The window here has got a big display of the chocolate mints right there. He says, I said, sir, come here for a second. It's right there. Just take the scoop. We can't do that, sir. What? Can I just come around the counter? Now I'm exasperated. And I'm trying to be a great tester on my son. My son's just looking up. So I said, okay, well, if that's the only thing you can do, I'll just take chocolate mint with two scoops, please. So I said, Jeremiah, come on. I said, let's go sit in the area here in the cafe. You know, they had some tables. And this is, oh, sir, you can't do that. America! I said, why can't... It is still 5 minutes to eight. Well, we're cleaning this area up, sir. Yeah, I know, but it's still 5 minutes to eight. Well, they're young teenagers. They can't wait for that clock to get out because they're off. Now, hear me in the story. So I am flustered a little bit. So we get outside. I said, come on, Jeremiah. I said, come on, let's go. And before we take a few steps out, and I just hear this voice, Daddy! And he looks up, and he sees a park. Now, mind you, the dusk is setting. It's nighttime. And he says to me, Daddy, please, just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes. I said, fine, you owe me some money. I didn't say that. So off we go across the street, hold handing, because we're crossing a busy intersection. And we go there, and he runs, and he's off, and I'm holding his ice cream. And so I arrive at the park. There's a few kids playing, but the dusk is setting, and I sit on a bench. And I had my iPhone. So I sit on the bench, and it says, well, you know, I'll just catch up, and I start going through Facebook. I'm just sitting there. And this is what happened. Look up. That was the only word I had. Look up. And there was a lady sitting next to me. And she'd brought her children. And they were playing, and she just looked tired. I said, hello. She said, oh, hello. And I said, how are you doing? She said, it's been rough. And then the next thing comes, I tell her she's doing a good job as a mom. That's all I got. I just want to encourage you. You're doing a good job. She said, doesn't feel like it. And we began to talk. And God said this to me. He says, I want you to just listen. Listen to her story. And so I just listened. And as we got to the end, she says, we only had so much money left, and we used it all to buy petrol to come here for the kids to play. I just wanted to have another happy time. My other son's in the car because he's a teenager and he's upset because of the situation we're in. So I'm sitting there continuing to listen, and God says, I want you to give her everything you have in your pocket. A few days before, I had just gotten a lot of cash. So it was thick and it was bulging. And I said, Lord, I just want to double check. Not because I want to be disobedient, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. And he said all of it. But he says, include Jeremiah in the miracle. So I went and talked to him. I told him the need this lady had. And God had said to give him all the money in the pocket. And he said, Daddy, let's do it. And so the dusk was setting. She said, I really appreciate our time. I said, I just want to reaffirm how much God loves you and he's for you. I know you're having a tough time. And I just shook her hand and gave her the wad of cash. I say, God sees you. He loves you. I invited her to come here. And he loves your son who's in the car. And she filled up with tears, hugged me and thanked me. And so her kid went off and I'm sitting there. Now it's getting dark and I can just barely make Jeremiah out in the darkness. I thought I better get home because my wife's going to correct me. And then I see a shadow coming out of the distance running, shape of a teenage boy. It was her son. And he just grabbed my hand and he said, thank you so much. We needed that. Thank you. I said, everything's going to be fine. You keep going. You keep going for it. God's with you. Now I want to help you. I was just living my life. I was tired. And notice the timings of things that happened. The delay in the ice cream shot. The perfect timing of the woman sitting on the bench. God wants to use our lives. Yeah? You're already doing it. Can I encourage you? You're already doing it. Kids in school, you're already doing it. And God, you're already living your life, and he just says, look up. That's all he says, just look up. And then he'll give you the words to say, a friendship, a handshake, or listen, whatever it is. But this is how we're going to reach this world. This is how we're going to impact this city. This is how. And it's simple, through our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. And Father, I want to thank you for all the stories that you're writing. I want to thank you for all the stories of transformation in our own lives in this house. But Lord, I want to thank you for the stories that are coming. I want to thank you for the lives that are coming that are going to be changed. I want to thank you for this people, that you've empowered them with the Holy Spirit and that you're just going to be living your life through their life. In Jesus' wonderful name.
Amen.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Go turn to someone and say, let's go change the world.